work the other way around? Yeah. There we go. All right. Thank you, sir. All right. Boy, talk about a hard act to follow. Like the aftermath of a plane crash or something like that. Good though, a good plane crash though, right? There are bad ones and good ones. Praise God. Aren't you glad I didn't run over you, Jess? Aren't you glad I didn't run over you?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Little speed bump in the road there. Praise God. This picture, you know, we're singing Grace is pursuing us, running after us, and the kids are running. I'm thinking they're running from the grace. I don't know. Hopefully not, praise God. They certainly operate in the grace of God, don't they? Amen. Take out your Bible or the device that has your Bible in it or whatever. Let's make confession over it this morning, shall we? This is my Bible. It's God's word to me, and I believe all of it, from Genesis to maps, and I'll receive absolutely everything God has for me today, in Jesus' name. All right, now wave around a little bit, be excited, praise God. See if you can find in the Old Testament, 1 Kings, chapter 18, and verse 21. My subject for this morning is opinions. Everybody say opinions. Everybody has one. Everybody has many. And my point is going to be we need to be willing to change. Right. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. What's happening with Israel at the time is they had given themselves over to worship idols. The main one was Baal. And there were 400 prophets of Baal and one Elijah. And it wasn't fair. Those 400 prophets of Baal were outnumbered because Elijah was serving the living God. And he says, they're confronting, you know, he's confronting it. If you read this whole thing, especially in some of the more modern translations, it's actually funny. Some of the things, because Elijah began to tease them after a while when their God couldn't show up with fire. But here it says in verse 21, and Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. And the reason they didn't answer is because they had an opinion and they didn't want to change. You know, we come to church with opinions. You came to church with opinions this morning. We face life with opinions. Not all of them are bad. Some things need to be held on to, but if we're going to progress, we're going to run into opinions that we're going to need to change. And the people that don't progress spiritually are those that won't change their opinion when it comes to spiritual things. I thought about my own existence over the years in a more spiritual sense. The first thing is, in an opinion change, is coming to the Lord and receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, I was probably 6-7 years old when that happened, so I don't remember specifically. And I was brought up in church. I went to a little Methodist church in the town of the Kunkel, where I was born. And then we started into my uncle started a Assemblies of God church, and our whole family went, and my mom was telling me recently that I was the first one to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. So, but that's an opinion change. I mean, if you can remember back to when you received Jesus, before that point you had an opinion that you didn't need that. But praise God, hopefully you're willing to change. If you're here this morning, you haven't made that change yet, may I suggest you have an opinion change because you need Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. And then we grew up in the Assemblies of God Church. Not only did I meet God there and met the Holy Spirit there, but I met my wife there. Didn't know at the time because she's 4 years younger than me, and so she was very young at that point. And we grew up together in that church, and I moved away and came back. But we found the Holy Spirit there. And that was there's a opinion change to come to the Holy Spirit, recognizing you need to not only be born again, but baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And there's controversy about that. Usually controversy about anything that's important when it comes down to it. But there was a need for a change of opinion there. And then we're coasting along pretty good, but Diane and I, excuse me, both had the sense that something was missing. You ever been to that place in your life? There's something else. We need to get a hold of something. And there was a cassette tape passed on to us by Kenneth Copeland. And he was talking about the power of the tongue. And the whole message of faith was all altogether new to us. We thought we understood faith. We understood it was important. But we really didn't understand it at all. And I heard that tape and got hungry and began to change my opinion. Because our opinion before that was, you pray, and if God wants to do something, he will. And if he doesn't, he won't. And so if you come for healing, you pray or get prayer. And if it happens, God wanted it to. And if it doesn't, he doesn't want it to. And you'll just have to learn to live with it and keep loving the Lord your God anyway. Well, we love God anyway, but we found out God didn't want us to be healed. And he didn't want us to be delivered. He didn't want us to have peace and those kind of things. So that was an opinion change. And there are people that I know, relatives and so on, that weren't willing to make that change. So when you don't make the opinion change, you stay where you were, and you don't like it where you are, but some people would rather be despondent, would rather be in a hopeless situation than change their opinion. You know, sometimes it used to be said, take your hand and bring it out from your head like this. Now bring it back fast, because you need to smack yourself upside the head and say, change your opinion, move on. Well, then, you know, to start the church, to go to Rhema, first of all, and then come up here and start the church, took some big opinion changes. And then to the changes along the way, when we met Dr. Lemon, and he began to talk about kingdom and separating yourself. Don't separate yourself. Open up your heart to different camps and those kind of things. Because we began to be, you can be, how can I explain it? How can I say it? You can build walls around yourself and say, we don't like you because you believe different than we do. We all believe a little different than each other in some way or another. But if we have that basic belief that Jesus is the Lord of our life, that he's the only way of salvation, he's the door, then we can get along. I get along with pastors that are diametrically opposed to some of the things that I believe in. But we do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that everybody needs to get saved. So we can gather around that. And then these guys from England, Bryn Jones and Kerry Jones, came along and they started talking about kingdom and they started talking about covenant and things like that. And again, things that I thought I knew. And that's one of the problems with opinion is we think we know. And then somebody comes along and says, well, you don't know everything you need to know. And so you can say, well, I'm going to stick with what I know. Or you can say, I'm going to change my opinion and move farther on in things of God. I think we need, can I say it this way? We need a balance between being skeptical and not receiving anything and being gullible and swallowing everything that comes along. There's a balance in the middle there where we're open to learn new things, but we don't swallow it just because somebody said. Please don't swallow it just because Pastor Wayne says. If God says it, though, now we're talking something different. And that's the opinion that I want us to go towards. You know, and there's a lot of natural things, too. One of Diane's principles that she's been teaching recently is about drinking water. I did not want to change in that direction. It didn't make any sense to me. But you know, one of the things that you get burned enough, you're hurting enough after a while. One of the ministers we used to listen to a lot, can't think of his name right now, but he, one of the things he said, we don't change, there's three things that cause to change, and one of those is you're hurting enough. You're not going to change until you're hurting enough where you are. Say, enough of this. And so I was hurting enough. And I'm not going into any details of why I was hurting enough. But after a while, you start, I better make a change here. And then, you know, you begin to get more evidence from your doctor says, Diane is my doctor in some ways. And first the Lord Jesus, you first. And then Diane and our PCP. Got to drink that water. It makes a difference. It does. But, you know, all these things we're faced with on a regular basis, probably every day in some way or another, that life could be better. God wants life to be better. But in order for that life to be better, we need to be willing to change our opinions. So I was looking online and I thought, you know, there'd probably be some good quotes about opinions. Here's what I found. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Let me never fall in the vulgar mistake of dreaming that I am persecuted whenever I am contradicted." Persecuted whenever I'm contradicted. If just because somebody has a difference of opinion doesn't mean that I have to separate myself from them or I'm being persecuted by them. They may have a point. They might have something to say that I need to hear. Somebody years ago I was talking to, and they won't read anything that has anything in that they would disagree with. They won't read any of that. But you can get good out of things that you. There are things in there that you disagree with, but there are things that you can learn as you read along the way and hear along the way. Brother Hagin used to say it this way: even an old cow learns to eat the hay and spit out the sticks. So you know you can receive good out of something, and squeeze the good out of it, and still not fall prey to the things that you know are wrong. Another one. William Blake said, "The man who never alters opinion is like standing water and breeds reptiles of the mind." Never alters his opinion. If your opinions have not changed over all the years, you're not listening. Or you're listening, but you're not willing to make changes. And I say you, including myself. Somebody named Lichtenberg said, "Don't judge a man by his opinions, but by what his opinions have made him." Don't judge a man by his opinions, but what his opinions have made of him. Think about that. Somebody has decided, let me use this again, somebody has decided that so-and-so hurt them and they're going to be angry with them for the rest of their lives. What has that opinion done to them? They're probably lacking in peace. They're probably hurting physically. You know, lots of things will happen because of that opinion. And until they learn to forgive and just move on and recognize that forgiveness is not saying what you did was right. It's just saying, I'm not going to hold it on me. I'm enough me. One more. Joseph Joubert. Don't know who these guys are, but they said some interesting things. "Those who never retract their opinions love themselves more than they love the truth." They love themselves more than they love the truth. I love my opinion and I'm going to die with it. You know, those kind of things. I was reading, I've been reading, going back to some of the books that we read and studied through. on Thursday nights and so on. So I was reading, you know, Moving Your Invisible Boundaries. And here's what Richards had to say. We have the Holy Spirit who is always attempting to lead us into truth anytime we're willing to hear it. Any teachable person who will humble himself and surrender his opinion to God can get any needed revelation anytime he or she desires it. The day of salvation, which means to be healed, delivered, blessed, prospered, protected, and made whole, set apart, is always today. We are never waiting for God. So what's the waiting about? It may be because we need to change our opinion. Just a thought. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 1. Paul said to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 8:1, now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but love edifies. And they were dealing, you know, they were food that was offered to idols, and then it would be offered to people to eat. And so there was a lot of controversy on whether they should eat it or not because it had been offered to idols. And really, as far as Paul was concerned, it was no problem. It's just food. It has no, you know, it's food. If it's good food, it's good food. But if it bothered their conscience, they probably should stay away from it because you don't want to come against your conscience. But the point here is this, that I wanted to get is this. We know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but love edifies. To puff up means to make proud. We are proud of what we know. I mean, come down. Pull it into yourself and look at yourself. Don't think about your neighbor. Think about yourself. We're proud of what we know. I've been through this. When we face it, it's on a regular basis as we go through life. Especially something that we've toiled to come to understand. And then we find out there's a further understanding. There's a curve in there. There's an adjustment that needs to be made. And we need to make it. Salvation, baptizing the Holy Spirit, all these things are presented to us, and we decide whether we're going to adjust our opinion to that or not. Of course, it always needs to come back to, is it found in the Word? Does it have its source in God? Not just because some guy said so, but what's God saying? There was a revelation, a so-called revelation that came, like it's been probably 10 years ago now, a very well-known minister out of the Bible Belt decided that we're all saved. We're already saved. That you don't need to come and accept Jesus. We're all saved. And, you know, you can always, when you have an opinion, you can always find a couple scriptures that seem to agree with it. Interesting how that is. But the overall context of the Word of God doesn't support that, because those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We are saved in the sense that it's made available to us, but we have to accept what's been made available to us. So you don't want to be skeptical, but you don't want to be gullible and swallow everything that comes along. But knowledge puffs up as you. We all have a sense of arrogance, I guess, about things that we know. We think we know. But we need to be willing to make a change. But we're presented with truth that comes from God and align ourselves to that. Really, isn't it a lot of what messages at church are about? We come unless you're just, you know, getting your time in, but none of you would ever do that. We've never done that. I've done that. I'll admit to you. Punch the clock when you come in, punch it when you go back out. But we should come thinking, we're going to hear the Word of God. Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We're going to hear the Word of God. We just made a confession about our Bibles when we started out. So we should want to hear something that we don't know or we don't quite know correctly, so that we can make adjustments so that our life will be more like God, what God intended to start with. It's what we should desire. But we are confronted then with the truth and with a necessity to make the change and to admit that there's an admitting that we were wrong, at least to some degree, and now we need to change. My battles over the years have been things that I've studied out and come to the conclusion, this is what that verse says. Well, it could be this is what that verse says, but it also says this, there's more to it. It opens up, there's a panorama of revelation that comes from the Word of God. And somebody said, and it's probably true, some of the verses that we think we know the best are the ones that we probably don't know all that well at all. Like, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But there's a lot more to that than we think there is. But if our hearts are open to make changes and adopt new opinions, we're going to receive more from it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Another thing that Richard says in the book is, unfortunately, most of our struggle with truth is the pursuit of intellectual understanding instead of establishing our hearts, our heart beliefs. Getting the information feeds my ego, but still does not set me free. Experiencing the truth in my heart as an expression of God's love sets me free. Not just what you know in your head. Even if you know the right things in your head, it's what's in your heart. And that's what we're attempting to do. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, probably have it underlined already in your Bible. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is God-breathed, it says, and is profitable. All scripture is profitable. Even the book of Leviticus is profitable. All the begats are profitable, praise God, for doctrine or teaching, for reproof or evidence, for correction, course adjustment, for instruction in righteousness, child training, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now when it says instruction in righteousness, child training, or I was looking in Vines and it says, it adds this thought, improvement of life or character. The Word of God is valuable, is profitable for improvement of life or character. But again, I have lots of Bibles. I don't know. You probably have more than one Bible. Plus you've got it on your phone and you've got it on your Kindle and your iPad and everything else. But it isn't changing your life until you're willing to change your life. You know, people say, well, I sleep with the Word under my pillow. Well, then it doesn't, there's no osmosis where, you know, it comes out. And even if it gets in your head, it still needs to be in your heart. Why do you falter between two opinions? Here's what God says. Move over to what God says. Amen? Again, from the book on boundaries, the disciple has so come to know, and let me say this. How many of you are born again? Now, how many of you would say, I'm a disciple too? Because I think there's a difference. We came into the kingdom of God by getting born again, but disciples have decided, and I'm following Jesus. I'm not just happy that heaven's coming someday. I'm going to walk the path with Jesus. There was a video we saw years ago, remember? The disciple gets the same dust on him that Jesus has on him because he's walking down the same path. It takes a change of opinion to do that, to be a disciple. I want you to think about this, to decide. Remember, if you grew up in church, we sang, I have decided to follow Jesus. Yeah, you can sing the song, but still not have made that decision, have changed your opinion to that. Because the disciple walk is a everyday walk. It's every moment of everyday walk. And there are things that we're smacked right in the face with that I'm putting this all together, just honestly don't want to do. Things we don't want to change, opinions we don't want to change. Yeah. So a disciple has come to terms with the death of self, and is eager to learn. He loves instruction. He values correction. Being wrong is no threat to the disciple. It presents an opportunity for growth. He knows he's loved by God even if he's wrong. He knows God will not punish him, but will correct him gently as the child he loves. When the disciple hears a word of correction, the voice of God in his heart says, "This is truth." There's always a momentary sting of embarrassment. The negative feelings are soon replaced by the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The defensiveness and arguments give way to peace. He seeks to know God in his heart, to acknowledge him, and God makes the way of correction even, straight, easy, prosperous, and pleasant. But the capacity to hear and to feel these wonderful inner expressions of love, peace, and power are only known by those who listen to God in their heart. The disciple has no dread of being wrong. You know, you guys remember Wayne Layton. One of the things he was always saying to me is, "I want to be found wrong. I like being found wrong. I like being proved to me that what I've been believing is wrong so that I can make changes and move on." I hope he means that and all. You know, it's one thing to say that, but it's another thing to actually walk the walk. But we need to be in that place. Lord, if I'm wrong, show me. And even if it stings a little bit, I'll be willing to move on. Making adjustments along the way. Finding out the truth. The thing that we accepted as truth is not the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. You know, it's not the whole picture. There's more. And there is more. And God understands that he understands enough that he hasn't dumped the whole revelation on us all at once. It's progressive. It's a little bit at a time. We couldn't handle it all at once. It wouldn't be good for us, but a little bit at a time, if we'll open up our heart. Or you can stall out and stay in that same place for the rest of your life. But I can guarantee, you can see with me, but I can guarantee every one of you are in a place where you would like to move forward. You don't want to stay here for the rest of your life. There are parts of your life that are good, but there are also parts that need to change. You don't have all the peace that you need. You don't have all the healing that you need in manifestation. You don't have all the prosperity that you need in whatever area it happens to be. But if we're willing to change our opinion, if we're willing to be wrong, admit that we're wrong, and move on, just between you and God. I'm not going to ask you to come up and make a confession of where you're wrong. Just between you and God. Say, "Yeah, I missed it here. I didn't have that quite right." And then move on and change your opinion. Luke chapter 6, verse 40. I'm looking at the clock. You know what that means? Okay, absolutely not. Okay. Luke 6:40, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Perfectly trained. Isn't that the process that we're in? Should be. And again, I don't think everybody that signs up for the class is perfectly trained. Is even interested in being perfectly trained. Some people get born again and they never show up at church again. I don't know what happens with that. I'm not going to judge that. But, we should want to progress. Because the inward man was changed immediately. and became new in Christ. But this outward man, my goodness, it needs some help. Doesn't it? I mean, you know, people get born again and they, and I've met some who were, you know, their language was really coarse and no fun to be around. And it hasn't changed. Some people didn't even recognize that they needed to change at first. And then, you know, they begin to hear the word of God and say, no, I shouldn't be talking like this. I need to change what I say, how I say it. And so they change. And not that, you know, swearing is unpardonable sin or anything like that, but there ought to be progress. You understand what I'm saying? Progress in the things of God. Need to move on in Him. The Vines Dictionary, where it says perfectly trained, adds this thought to it. Has a strong conviction of God's purpose for him. A perfectly trained person who in this process has a strong conviction of God's purpose for them. You and I are here for a purpose. It was God's purpose that we've been born again. It's God's purpose, according to what the writings of Paul, that we become more like Jesus all the time. It's God's purpose that we understand that we're all in ministry. We're all ministers, not just pastors, you know, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, but every one of us are called to the ministry of reconciliation, to be light and salt, to live our life in such a way that people would want to come out of darkness and into light. That in itself is a change of opinion. You know, people said to me over the years, and I probably said it to ministers when the fivefold ministry before I understood, well, you visit the hospital. You're the pastor. You visit people. But that's not truth. You understand what I'm saying? The truth is, we're all in ministry. And it's not, I'm not the only one anointed to go and visit somebody in the hospital. I'm not the only one anointed to share with somebody in their home that's going through a difficult time. I'm not the only one that's anointed to call somebody up or send a text. Or, you understand what I'm saying? We're all in this together. God made us the body of Christ, so we ought to minister together. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. I guess I'm trying to talk around this subject enough that'll whet your appetite. And you want to look at yourself and say, come before the Father and say, Father, what opinions that I'm holding are holding me back from growing in you? Because we want to grow in Him. Luke 9, verse 23. And He said to them all, this is Jesus, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Follow me. He's one of those verses of scripture that's been so many non-true premises based upon this. The taking up your cross daily has been taught as you're going to be sick. God's not going to do anything about it. Hang in there. Take up your cross. You know, whatever. It's been taught in the area of things that God promised through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but they're not going to be yours until you get to heaven. That's not the truth. Whatever God provided in the Lord Jesus Christ is mine now. So healing is mine now, and peace is mine now, and prosperity is mine now, and all these things are mine now. And deny myself is not to say, well, I guess He didn't have me in mind when He did that. He did. So it has to be something different. To deny, according to the Bible dictionaries, is to disregard one's own interests. Or could I say, to disregard one's own opinions. You don't get quiet every once in a while. I got quiet when I was thinking about this too. Because I try not to look at it just like these people need that, but this person needs that. And I'm seeing, especially since I was raised from death to life myself, that I have opinions that need to change. My basic thing that I'm working on is to see myself and have my opinion be, it's already done. I'm so much in the mode, so much having to change the mode of, if I just do this, then it'll happen. If I just do that, it'll happen. If I get this straight, it'll happen. And instead of saying, Wayne, it's already happened. It's already done. The healing's already done. The peace is already there. And just get a hold of it and get that in my heart. And so I have to change my opinion. I don't know how many times a day. I'm not trying to count. It would be just, it wouldn't work. It would work against me to try to count all the times when I start to think, and then I think, nope, can't go that way. Do I want to stay like I am? No, I want to move on. And so to move on, I need to be willing to change. One more verse of scripture here. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, 29, 30. I want to read this out of the Amplified. So I'll talk louder. That was the Amplified, see? Okay. When you have to explain it, it's not good. Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will give you rest." I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. Now, interesting, before I read the last verse there, take my yoke upon you. I heard this teaching a long time ago and it really stuck with me. Think of a yoke as that probably wooden thing between the, we'll use oxen, even though Bob isn't here. Every time I think of oxen, I think of Bob Bartell. So it goes between, and then it goes up over the either animal, and they pull together in the yoke. And I think it was Dr. Stewart, actually, who's been here, said, thinking of it this way, they move the yoke. If one animal is stronger than the other, they move the yoke in such a way that that animal could carry most of the load. And then, you know, either way or right down the middle to have them pull it together. And the yoke that came off the wagon, the load, as what's called a tongue. So you move the tongue, and the load is more on one animal than the other. Light bulb coming on. You move the tongue. You move it the wrong way and it's all on you. You move it the right way and it's all on him. And he can carry it. And I think that's what he intended. He just wanted us to walk alongside him. He's carried the load. But if we move the tongue, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Life is hard. Move the tongue, and then all the weight's back on us. Verse 30. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. Well, that's what it is for a disciple who has not only has, but continues to be willing to change his opinion to walk the walk that Jesus walked, to walk the walk he's walking at presently. See, how can I illustrate it? John Maxwell said, anyone who thinks he leads but has no one following is just taking a walk. Well, I think sometimes Jesus is just taking a walk, and we aren't walking with him. I think he waits for us. I think plan B is just to get back to plan A. Don't you think? There's no plan B as far as God's concerned. Just get us back to plan A. Just like Garmin recalculating. Get back on the path again. Let me read a passage from one more passage from the book. When a disciple hears the word of correction, the voice of God in his heart says, this is truth. Did I read this to you already? While there is always a momentary sting of embarrassment, the negative feelings are soon replaced by the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The defensiveness and arguments give way to peace. He seeks to know God in his heart, to acknowledge him, and God makes the way of correction even, straight, easy, prosperous, and pleasant. But the capacity to hear and feel these wonderful inner expressions of love, peace, and power are only known by those who listen to God in their heart. The disciple has no dread of being wrong. So, as we're worshiping this morning, it just may be that the Holy Spirit might show us an area in our life that we're wrong. And it's never for condemnation. You're wrong. Here's an area that you can do better in. Here's an opinion that'll help you more than what you've decided to walk in up to this point. Here's a better way to get there. Here's a way to prosper. Here's a way to get ahead. Here's a way to experience the life as God has it in a more powerful way than you've been. Don't you think he'd want to show you that? But the question is, are you willing to give up your opinion? Praise God, we are. Amen. Let's worship.